Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to day two of our session. Yesterday, maybe I would start first by thanking the College Secretariat for the wonderful evening we had yesterday. I think it was a real fitting way of starting, ending the day yesterday. We managed to successfully go through agenda 1, 2, and 3. And today we'll look at the rest of the agenda items. And it's the wish of the chair to see if we could finish the agenda items today. So I will ask the members to also assist the chair to be able to attend this goal of winding up the agenda items today. So we could now start with agenda item number 4, financial and budgetary matters. And can I invite the secretary, please, to introduce the agenda item. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 4 is financial and budgetary matters, and this is a standing item on the agendas of executive committee because of the particular strategic and management function entrusted to this committee. This agenda item 4 is divided into two sub-items for the ease of discussion. The first item consists of the consideration, or rather reconsideration, of a discussion paper that was presented to the last session of the committee. The 59th session of the Executive Committee did not have sufficient time to study the matter. For one thing, because of the heavy agenda and not being able to allocate sufficient time to this matter, and for another, because of the late availability of the document to the members of the Executive Committee. Therefore, the 59 sessions of the Commission, while noting the comments made by some members, decided to come back to this document again at the present session and pursue the discussion. And the paragraphs 100 through 104 of the report of the previous session of the committee speak to this item. Just to refresh the memory of members and introduce again the documents to the members who joined this committee at the last session of the Commission. Probably there is some merit in briefly restating the central message of this document, Adinom 07/30/9, Addendum 1, or Addendum, concerning the alternative funding mechanisms for the joint FAO-WHO food standards program. This rather short discussion paper touches on or look at the matter from two angles. One is the sustainability and predictability of budgeting process, and the other from an angle of legal implications associated with each of the three cases that are studied in this document. Starting paragraph 18, there is some analysis of the case where mandatory assessed contributions are introduced as the major way to fund the joint FAO-WHO food standards program. From a legal point of view, mandatory assessed contributions mean that it would put additional duties to the FAO members and WHO members over and above those embodied in the FAO and WHO constitutions. Therefore, this option cannot be followed unless a new international legally binding instrument, either a treaty or convention, is put in place. And this means that we have to go through a negotiation process to reach an agreement on the content of a new legal instrument, and the additional time will be required to get the new instrument approved by the member states before such an agreement can enter into force. So there are some challenges that are stated in paragraph 20 and paragraph 22. The Secretariat's preliminary conclusion would therefore be the disadvantages and uncertain outcome of the process seem to outweigh any eventual advantages of such process. However, we presented this as a one case study because the original request from the exec committee was to look at all existing funding mechanisms for international standard setting activities and catalog them in this document. The second case study is about the voluntary assessed contributions, and we need still a close examination of the matter whether the introduction of voluntary assessed contribution is indeed possible without changing the statutes of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. So again, the Secretariat will have to stress the preliminary nature of this document. And paragraphs 24 list some of the possible advantages of using voluntary assessed contributions, and paragraph 25 includes some examples of disadvantages that could be associated with this way of funding the Codex program. Finally, there is the manner in which the FAO-WHO food standards program is funded. currently and since 1960s. In other words, through the regular budgets of FAO and WHO. Some members may recall that when the joint FAO-WHO food standards program was invented in early 1960s, the first option that was suggested for the funding of the program was through the trust fund. But within a few years after the establishment of the program, it became clear that the funding through the trust fund was not predictable, and it was not fit for the type of operation such as Codex program, which consists in a lot of meeting planning and meeting operations that require advanced planning. This is a reason why the regular budgets have been identified as the unique resources for funding the Codex program, and this principle is enshrined in Article 9 of the statutes of the Codex Alimentarius Commission that were adopted by the World Health Assembly and the FAO Conference. So these are three case studies and brief description of the implications of following one of those funding models, so to speak, and a brief description of foreseen advantages and disadvantages. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary, for this introduction. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you all recall it's a request from the Commission, and it's true we didn't have time to discuss it in the last Executive Committee meeting. So I would wish we spend a bit of time to comment and, if possible, come up with some concrete advice as to the way forward in terms of ensuring sustainable funding to the Codex process. So the floor is open, and can I invite the Director, WHO?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make the point that we could consider that there are more than these three ways forward. Basically, the paper is giving us three ways. Two ways where you will have a little bit more independence of Codex, of the parent bodies, in relation to the money coming in, and one which is status quo. And we would believe that there is a fourth way, and that fourth way might be to accept extra budgetary funds in the running of Codex. The issue is that in WHO now, 75% of all funds in WHO are extra budgetary. And FAO is moving in that direction also. So it means that a huge amount of our total budget is extra budgetary. It puts a lot of restraints on our possibility to move forward with the Codex budget if we continue to say that it can only be regular budget. A number of other normative activities in WHO are now funded from extra budgetary funds. A number of the big donors to WHO are giving extra budgetary funds totally unearmarked. So they say, here is the pot of money. This is the money that you should go ahead and use according to the agreement you have from the World Health Assembly. This is totally unearmarked money. And we should be able to use that also for the Codex budget. So that's the fourth way, which would mean that we would have a lot more flexibility in relation to the Codex budget. I would also maintain what we have said many times. There's no way that the codex business is always going to be the same. There's no way that codex as one of the only programs in WHO or FAO is always going to be the same in relation to money. Any other program, including very, very important public health programs, have the need to continue to state why they are important and to continue to make budgets that are realistic. So we think that if we want to move forward, do new things, that's fine, but we have to be able to get money out of where the money are, and that's at the moment at the extra budgetary part. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, for that very good suggestion. In other words, we are suggesting for a fourth way of funding, and that is from the extra budgetary funds of both WHO and FAO. And it looks attractive, and maybe we can also comment on that as a committee. Jordan, please.
Shukran, Sayyid Rais. في البداية لابد من شكر أمانة الدستور الغذائي على هذه الدراسة الشاملة لآليات تمويل هيئة الدستور الغذائي وتوضيحها لآليات التمويل الملزمة أو الطوعية في إطار دستور منظمة الأغذية والزراعة ودستور منظمة الصحة العالمية أو في إطار الاتفاقيات الأخرى. طبعا بالإضافة إلى ما تم ذكره من قبل ممثل WHO، أعتقد بأن هذه الآليات المذكورة في الدراسة تحتاج إلى دراسة معمقة من قبل خبراء قانونيين وماليين على مستوى الدول، وخاصة أن هذه الآليات المقدمة في الدراسة سوف تضيف أعباء مالية إضافة إلى الأعباء المالية الحالية في إطار التزامات الأعضاء في منظمة الأغذية والزراعة ومنظمة الصحة العالمية، وأيضا مشاركة الأعضاء في الاجتماعات المختلفة لهيئة الدستور وخاصة في الدول النامية. شكرا سيد الرئيس.
Thank you, Jordan, for that information too. And New Zealand, please.
Thank you, Chairman, and thanks to the committee for having this opportunity to have further discussion on the issues that were considered in a preliminary way at the last meeting. At that meeting, we offered some preliminary comments on the three options that were presented in the agenda paper before us. And having had the opportunity to consider the options in greater detail, we continue to feel that the status quo, in other words, the current funding arrangements, would still, in our view, present the best option for funding the Codex Alimentarius Joint Food Standards Program. I think at the last meeting we pointed out that there were concerns in relation to the option for mandatory assessed contributions, and we've already made reference to the fact that this would represent additional net contributions from member states, which clearly would not be a pragmatic proposition for us at this stage. The voluntary assessed contribution clearly presents significant uncertainties in terms of availability of funds, and we don't think that is a pragmatic way to fund an important program such as Codex. Having said that, then, really we are left with the current status quo, which in our view is still a viable way of sustaining the program. The only issue that I think we have raised in previous occasions, and there is really no surprise in that, is the difficulties around the annual or biennial assessments and contributions from the parent bodies. We are fully aware and appreciative of the difficulties that parent bodies face. After all, I think in some ways member states ultimately determine what the parent bodies provide, and we fully understand that. What we have been trying to do within Codex has been to try and find some pragmatic way around this and see whether there is possible to achieve a greater level of certainty and surety for Codex. And I think thus far we have looked at some of the prospects, for example, trying to achieve greater efficiency gains through some of the savings that have already been initiated, for example, looking at electronic distribution of documents and being more critical in terms of some of the services that we provide. And I think at the last meeting we raised the idea of perhaps exploring possibilities for contestability in securing services. We heard the WHO indicate that they already apply or practice outsourcing of some of their services. We believe that this is something that is still an important opportunity for Codex to explore. We understand that if Codex has to operate within the rules set by the parent bodies, but the current independent external evaluation does provide, in our view, an opportunity for the Commission to perhaps stretch its dollar more in this direction. We note the comment this morning from the WHO about opportunities for extra budgetary funding. This is interesting, and I think it is certainly worth exploring. The only question that we have in relation to the Codex program is that there is already a significant extra budgetary contribution if we look at the hosting arrangements and the contribution that member countries provide through that avenue. So again, I think from our perspective, it is something that is worth exploring, but we do need, as members, be satisfied that it will actually deliver greater predictability in funding. So that is something that we would certainly like to explore a bit further, but more information would be needed on what it would do in practice to Codex funding. So in summary, Mr. Chairman, our feeling is that we very much believe that the current arrangements still provide us the best opportunity to sustain and deliver to the Codex program, but we do need to look more closely at efficiency gains and look at all practical opportunities for savings and address some of the other options that have been suggested today, in particular the question of alternative funding, both MFAO and WHO. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand, for those ideas and suggestions. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Coincidimos plenamente por lo señalado por Nueva Zelanda, pero además realmente nos parece esta la manera más adecuada, al menos por el momento, de financiación. Argentina ha tenido oportunidad, como todos los miembros, de examinar las discusiones que tuvieron lugar en la FAO con motivo de la conferencia, y buena parte de los documentos que también tenían que ver con la cuestión presupuestaria, con los temas prioritarios, etcétera. Y realmente, cuando analizábamos el tema presupuestario, una de las cuestiones que nos llamaba poderosamente la atención era la cantidad de recursos extra presupuestarios que se utilizaban y de qué manera estaban orientados. Y lo que nos preocupa en muchas ocasiones de estos fondos extra presupuestarios es que no necesariamente son fondos no asignados tal como señalaba la OMS. Y el Codex, en el Codex lo que se tiene que garantizar es que cualquier aporte extra presupuestario se utilice de una manera que sea acorde con los intereses de la comisión y con la preocupación de todos los miembros, no de algunos miembros o de los que hacen los aportes, porque de lo contrario, el camino que está siguiendo el Códex no es el elegido por todos, sino el designado, el establecido por aquellos que hacen los aportes. Con lo cual, nos parece que se debería hacer un análisis mucho más profundo de los gastos, por una parte, que tiene el Códex, para ver si efectivamente cada año queda en rojo en sus cuentas al atender cada una de las funciones que la comisión le ha asignado, y la otra, ver inclusive de qué manera a través de las organizaciones madres se puede volcar otros recursos. De hecho, en el caso de la FAO, por ejemplo, ha habido, entiendo, en esta reunión de la conferencia, un aumento de por lo menos un 13% de los aportes de los miembros, y posiblemente, entiendo que en el caso de la OMS, si esto no ha ocurrido, posiblemente serán nuevos recursos que o aumentos presupuestarios que también en la próxima conferencia soliciten a los miembros. Y bueno, dependerá también de los miembros de nuestros gobiernos en esas organizaciones definir de qué manera se asignan los presupuestos. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina, and I have Japan, please.
Thank you, Chair. The Japan would like to echo the what's expressed by New Zealand. In the Codex Commission, we discussed also the contribution by host government, and it's somehow a voluntary, a kind of voluntary contribution. And for facilitate the host government to contribute more efficiently, it may be interesting to look at to what extent the host government can be more flexible in doing that job. That is, for example, the service is mentioned by New Zealand, and there's various services, the translation, interpretation, etc. That could be, it depends upon the commission or task forces, but if the executive committee or secretariat gives some more guidance how the host government can behave a bit flexibly in vis-a-vis the outsourcing, etc. So I think it will be more, give the host country more chance or more the choice to economize or the help the budgetary, financially, the Codex Secretariat. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. I have United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning. I would also like to echo the words of New Zealand. In fact, dare I say, I think we're moving towards consensus here. I think first of all, we need to thank the Secretariat for a typically clear explanation of the options, and to thank the WHO representative for additional thoughts on how we might fund. I think we can add to the disadvantages of mandatory or voluntary assessed contributions the problem of us going to our financial ministries with a begging bowl asking for more money. They will inevitably ask searching questions about the need for that money, and will possibly, perhaps probably, seek offsetting savings in the contribution that goes to the FAO and WHO. When you add to that the legal problems of both approaches, I think this is therefore going to be extremely difficult to do. In terms of the status quo, we were encouraged by the introductory words of both the FAO and WHO yesterday morning on the regard with which Codex is held. It is important, however, that we conduct our work in an efficient and effective way, and there are examples that have already been mentioned of ways in which savings might be made. If you, those people who were at the last executive committee will remember a very helpful breakdown of costs that were provided, which showed that the lion's share of cost of the Codex comes with the papers and their translation and interpretation. And it follows that less papers will mean less expenditure, and outsourcing could mean less expenditure too. This is a very important role for the executive committee, which is to look at the way in which money is collected and the way in which money is spent. It is therefore very important that we now have this critical review function, which looks at the work we do, the recommendations we've made concerning the structures, the numbers of subsidiary bodies and so on. The aim is to make savings. And this comes, for example, when we look at all proposals for new work. These decisions should not be taken lightly, because we could perhaps bear in mind the potential cost of taking a standard from the very beginning to sometimes the eventual end. And this perhaps is very difficult to do for a typical document, but it would be quite frightening, I think, to add up the cost of taking a standard through meetings of the subsidiary body, the various papers, the contributions of interpretation and so on. And therefore we need to look at the cost as well as the benefits of starting on new work before we do so. I like the idea of extra budgetary funding, but I think that might be difficult to do from a Codex point of view. But it is encouraging that the WHO has been able to source extra funds in this way. And I think it is the job of Codex to convince our parent bodies of the value of our work. And just finally, Chairman, I think it's worth reminding the committee of the words of the WHO representative in the summer, that we ask for more money, we need to justify the money that we receive. And from the WHO point of view, food safety is going to be of paramount importance compared, say, to some of the commodity work that we do. So I'm sorry if I've been on quite long on the microphone, Chairman, but essentially supporting the views of New Zealand and others. Thank you.
Thank you, UK, and I have Mali, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Permettez-moi à mon tour aussi de féliciter ceux qui nous ont proposé ce document, qui à mon avis est tout à fait bienvenu, parce que à l'image de la plupart des organisations internationales, effectivement, le Codex connaît des tensions financières qui font qu'il est important de réfléchir pour trouver une solution. Et à la lumière de ce qui a été dit, je ne répéterai pas beaucoup les autres, mais je pense que l'option soutenue par certaines délégations concernant le statu quo me semble la plus raisonnable à l'état actuel des choses. Et je pense qu'elle peut nous mener à des résultats probants si nous mettons l'accent effectivement, comme certains l'ont dit, par rapport aux économies qui peuvent être faites. Je pense aussi que l'option proposée par l'OMS peut être approfondie parce qu'elle a fait ses preuves ailleurs. Mais j'insisterai surtout sur le fait que, à mon avis, nous devons autant que possible éviter des contributions obligatoires, surtout que, en tout cas, je sais, pour ce qui concerne beaucoup de pays en voie de développement, déjà, les contributions qui les sont demandées dans le cadre des autres organisations constituent une charge qu'elles n'arrivent pas à s'en acquitter, et je pense que si on en ajoute, ce n'est pas pour contribuer vraiment à leur participation effective à ce genre d'activité, parce que si on venait à dire que ceux qui ne contribuent pas seront sanctionnés, par exemple, et diminuer leur participation ou toute autre mesure, en tout cas, c'est contraire à ce que nous attendons de résultats du Codex. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mali, for that, those observations again. Argentina, you want to come back again? And please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En el transcurso de esta discusión, recordaba algo que había señalado Canadá y que está relacionado con lo planteado por Japón. En oportunidad de la discusión anterior sobre este tema, en la reunión previa del Comité Ejecutivo que tuvimos antes de la Comisión, cuando vimos este documento y cuando se analizó el presupuesto detallado que habría presentado el Codex, se había llamado la atención respecto de en qué se utilizaban específicamente los fondos que estaban asignados para traducción e interpretación. Y el llamado de atención había sido que básicamente los países que tienen a su cargo comités se ocupan en buena medida de las traducciones de los documentos y de la interpretación durante las reuniones. Y en realidad se entendía que a cargo del presupuesto del Codex estaban solamente las reuniones en los comités coordinadores regionales de países en desarrollo y en algunos casos los documentos para esas reuniones. Con lo cual, atando esto a lo señalado por Japón, quizás sería importante que todos los países que tienen a su cargo comités señalen específicamente de qué cuestiones económicas y financieras se hacen cargo por el manejo de estos comités, para clarificar de una vez por todas cuántos son los recursos que efectivamente destina el Codex para traducción e interpretación, y de esa manera poder finalmente clarificar este aspecto que tanta confusión trae, porque inclusive hay países en desarrollo que aún para sus reuniones de coordinación se hacen cargo de parte de estos gastos. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina. FA Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we talk about budget, it's always a subject that makes people uneasy, and particularly those agencies that are contributing, or those representative agencies that are contributing to a program that everybody seems to support and find it also gives it also priority, but to make savings after all what has been done since the evaluation of Codex and all the recommendations that have been made and implemented almost fully now, trying to make Codex more effective, more quicker, let's say, in responding to the needs of member countries, and also streamlining a number of activities in Codex, there's still always room for doing more with less and improving the efficiency of and the cost effectiveness of some of the operations. The proposals and the document that was prepared by the Secretariat to us does cover all the options that are in front of us. I think we all agree that the option A and B give so much uncertainty to the codex process that it would be difficult for anyone to see this as a viable option in any way. So the statu quo option, of course, is the one that you in majority have made have indicated your approval or your desire to continue with it. And we in FAO feel that this is the most viable also option if things remain as they are. However, things are moving, are changing in FAO. You have heard certainly about our independent external evaluation and many of the recommendations that were made to improve the efficiency of FAO's operations and FAO's work in different areas, and also on budgetary matters. I think we in FAO, like in WHO, we are moving into a situation where there will be a core funding that would be under the regular program, and a substantial amount, an increasing amount of our fund, both for normative as well as for field activities, will be supported from extra budgetary funds. Now, when the extra budgetary funds are not earmarked and they are provided to FAO and WHO, and WHO in this case management, for allocating to priority activities, priority areas that have been identified by the governing bodies of both FAO and WHO, I think for me it becomes more or less like a regular program, because if there is an indication of a priority of the program from the member countries, and if we have extra budgetary resources that are not non-earmarked, then they would become de facto more or less a regular program budget. It's when the contributions are earmarked to certain activities or certain programs, then it becomes difficult for the organization to satisfy all the needs, its needs, financial needs, to fulfill all its obligations under the programs that are in the program work and budget. And that's where the risks are. Some of the experience that we have seen with other intergovernmental bodies, without citing them, have shown that when you are talking about mandatory assessment or voluntary assessment to these programs, makes these programs or these activities rather very risky, and certainly does not give sufficient assurance for the secretariat of those programs to plan adequately for the activities of these programs. Therefore, I think the proposal that was made, or the option that was made by our colleague from WHO, that we should look for a situation where you have a core funding that comes from the regular program of FAO and WHO, and additional funding that would come from both non-earmarked as well as earmarked contributions from member countries, is the options that will impose itself on us, and we will have to make sure that we can adapt to this option in the future. There's no other way. Unfortunately, there will be less and less money assured in the core budget, but that more money probably come in for those programs that the member countries have identified as being priority. And therefore, we have to continue to show that Codex is a priority for member countries. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. And WHO, did you want to say speak again? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I can just echo exactly what was said by FAO, and then maybe mention that the issue here is that in Article 9 of the Statutes of Codex, it says that the money should come from the regular budget. So if we wanted to say it would also be okay to take the non-earmarked or some of the non-earmarked extra budgetary funds, we would have to change the statutes so that it says that the money just comes from WHO and FAO, which is the fact of life in a number of other programs. This would in no way make it more unpredictable because, as I just mentioned, two-thirds or almost 75% of all activities of WHO is actually now funded from extra budgetary funds. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, and ladies and gentlemen, it means we are really discussing the two options, basically the status quo and the proposal by WHO on extra budgetary funding. The first two options, they don't seem to have much support, but before we can continue, can I give chance to the Secretary to make comments on the interventions so far? Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there has been a very rich debate on this matter, but there has been also some requests for clarification. So the Secretariat wishes to comment on some of the comments or questions forwarded for the interest of further debate. There was a mention of the consequences of going towards the mandatory assessed contributions. And it is true that, for instance, in the case of FAO and WHO, their regular budget are based on assessed contributions, and certain members not having fulfilled their financial obligations for a certain period of time may indeed face a situation where those members lose voting rights in the governing bodies. In the case of a Codex program, which is funded by the regular budget of FAO and WHO, but is not directly funded through the assessed contributions, therefore, there is no consequences from a legal point of view, and as far as current rules apply, to those members, Codex members, that have problems with the parent organizations in the framework of Codex. So even those members who have some problems with the parent organizations can continue to participate fully in the Codex work. So this is the first point of clarification. Another point was raised from Japan with regard to the room for more cost saving at the level of incoming contribution from the host governments with respect to the operation of subsidiary bodies hosted by those governments. The share of responsibilities between the Codex Secretariat and host government secretariat is determined by a memorandum of responsibilities to be concluded between the host government and the Codex Secretariat, either before each session of the subsidiary body or through a generic memorandum responsibility that would apply to a series of sessions of a given subsidiary bodies. And of course, we have taken on board the use of a lot of new information technologies to run Codex sessions. So the content of memorandum responsibilities has evolved over time. But the Codex Secretariat is committed to always review the content of memorandum of responsibilities in the light of the current need and make the responsibilities on the part of the host government an outcome-oriented so that it is not overly prescriptive. In terms of interpretation and translation, the currently recommended practice within FAO is that when a host government recruits interpreters or translators, the FAO provides a list of interpreters and translators that have a recorded evidenced record of satisfactory performance within the United Nations system. So these the interpreters and translators recommended by FAO provides a basis for building the local logistics on these aspects. However, several subsidiary bodies that have been hosted for decades by the same host government has also been successfully built, has built the a good team of interpreters and translators, and who has ample knowledge of the Codex and FAO WHO terminology in conducting and in providing a quality interpretation and translation. Another point was raised as to the use of extra budgetary funding for the operation of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. At this point of time, there are two ways of Codex using extra budgetary resources. The first route is through the in-kind contribution or currency, hard currency contribution by the host governments to cover the expenses related with the operation of a subsidiary body. This extra budgetary contribution we can always only estimate. The magnitude of this extra contribution is estimated to go beyond the amount of Codex budget managed by the Codex Secretariat because of the over 20 Codex sessions held annually, and only a few of them are funded by the Codex budget. Therefore, at this stage, I meant to say that there was a second way of extra budgetary contribution currently effective to support the Codex program, which is through the secondment of professional officers to the Codex Secretariat. And at this moment, we have three professional staff members on secondment to the Codex Secretariat. However, the
Codex Secretariat and FAO and WHO have made sure that the secondment of those officers will not bias in any way the operation of the Codex Secretariat, and they will support the implementation of the Codex program as has been agreed upon by the governing bodies of Codex Alimentarius Commission, which is the Codex Commission itself. So the Codex Commission is the entity that guarantees and have an oversight to the implementation of the Codex program. The only difference between the Codex governing bodies and FAO-WHO governing bodies being that in FAO or WHO, a governing body has both funding and programming responsibilities. So they can adjust the amount of program when they see that they get a smaller amount of money. They can increase their program when they see that more money is coming in. So it is possible to reconcile the budget and program. While in Codex, the Codex governing bodies only has the full control over the programming of the Commission, but it does not have the decision-making authority with regard to the budgeting. The Codex Alimentarius Commission can only consider an estimate of expenditure proposed by the Directors General of FAO and WHO and make recommendations to that estimate, and that is as much as Codex governing bodies can go. There has been some comments from FAO and WHO, and the Codex Secretariat would like to simply confirm that if the Commission agrees to explore the fourth option, which would consist in getting funding from the extra budgetary sources through FAO and WHO, the amendment to Article 9 of the Codex Statutes will be required, and it would mean that the amendments be adopted by the Commission and be adopted by the FAO Conference and World Health Assembly subsequently. Another point in respect of extra budgetary funding, and in relation to the question raised at the last session of the Executive Committee, we could confirm that there is a slight difference between the International Plant Protection Convention and the Codex Program. The International Plant Protection Convention Program, implemented by the AGPP of FAO, they have both standard setting and technical assistance elements. And if I'm not misled, the standard setting portion is mainly funded through the regular budget of FAO, while the extra budgetary resources is meant to cover mainly the technical assistance part of the IPPC operation. In the case of Codex program, and within the framework of FAO and WHO food standards program, we in principle do not have technical assistance segment, although the Codex Secretariat officers are frequently invited to participate in workshops and seminars to promote Codex
or promote the linkage between the WTO agreements and codex. So in the case of the difference again between the codex and IPPC is that codex covers only the food core business of food standard setting and technical assistance related to codex, as well as the provision of scientific advice related to codex, are funded by different programs within FAO and WHO. Finally, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize for making a long intervention, with respect to the current way of implementing the Rule 13.1, there is one institutional difficulties. This is derived from the fact that in the case of FAO, its supreme governing body, World Health Assembly, meets in May, and this is one of the UN organizations that have its governing body meeting earliest in the calendar cycle, where in the case of FAO, its governing bodies has met in November, and it is one of the UN agencies that adopt the next biennium budget very late in the calendar cycle. And this resulted in significant difficulties to synchronize the FAO budget process with WHO budget process and present, let's say, informative and consistent budgetary document to the Commission, which, by the way, meets in July, midway between World Health Assembly and FAO conference. In the framework of the independent external evaluation of FAO, there was a proposal made to anticipate the timing of the FAO conference, probably during May-June period. And if this proposal is taken on board in the future, there may be some ease for FAO and WHO to improve the bilateral consultations between these two governing parent bodies in the preparation of an estimated expenditure for the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Secretary, for that very, not so lengthy as you put it, but an important information to the committee. And I'm sure as a committee now we have the sense that the two alternatives, the first one of mandatory assessment and the second one of voluntarily assessed contributions, they are not very much welcome because of the several reasons we have explained. And our support is mostly for the two options. One, which was proposed by the Secretariat paper, that from the regular budgets. And fourth, the one of trying to see if you can get some funds from the extra budgetary funding from both WHO and FAO. Regarding the funding from the regular budgets, we have expressed the need to be cost conscious, try to make more savings, and we have mentioned the question of paper documentation, and we have also mentioned the possibility of allowing outsourcing of services. And there was also a mentioning of Codex justifying its needs
for more funds. Regarding the possibility for getting extra budgetary funding or extra budgetary funds, well, getting funds from the extra budgetary funds of both FA and WHO, we have noticed that that is a possibility, but we need to amend Article 9. And that will need to have the approval of the Commission and also the approval of the governing bodies of both WHO and FAO. And we have also noticed the fact that Codex as an institution requires a predictable budget, and we are also cautious with this extra budgetary funding. It very much depends on the priority by the governing bodies of both FAO and WHO, and in fact, by also FAO and WHO management. So we are also cautioning that if that is a possibility, we need to be able to assure or ensure the predictability of our planning. That would summarize our discussion on this, and can I also take this liberty to ask the Secretary to see if there are issues that were also raised that I haven't been able to summarize, and I would allow. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for giving me the floor. In my earlier intervention, I forgot to mention that at the last session of the Executive Committee, there was a request to present a more detailed breakdown of the Codex expenditure, and the Secretariat did provide CRD 9, Conference Room Document 9, showing a first level breakdown of the back charging costs incurred through the Codex program in the 2004-2005 biennium. And there was also a request from the Executive Committee to widely share this information. So after the 59th session of the Executive Committee, the Codex Secretariat did distribute this information paper to all Codex members and observers. This being said, Mr. Chairman, I think your summary has been comprehensive and covered almost all important comments made. And probably one thing we need to agree upon would be the next step. Well, given that the Executive Committee has been satisfied with the negative implications visibly overweighing the positive implications for the first and second option, possibly the Executive Committee could request FA and WHO to prepare a new discussion paper and providing more detailed explanation on what would happen and what implications could be foreseen if the Commission amends Article 9 and contemplate the possibility of using extra budgetary resources in addition to regular budget resources for the operation of the Codex program. And if the document is available in time, it can be discussed at the next session of the Executive Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And I was looking at my left, and I see FANWHO nodding, and I think they will prepare that paper, and we can look at it in the next executive committee meeting. And also, I think as an executive committee, we also need to note and appreciate the extra budgetary funding that is already happening in Codex, especially in terms of the hosting countries' contribution. And also, we are also told of the secondment of professional staff to Codex. I think it's something that we need to note as executive committee and also appreciate. There's also the element of translation and interpretation. And we noted, much as there's always a recommendation from from FAO with regards to sourcing of these interpreters and translators, but there are some host countries which over a period of time have been able to build a strong team of interpreters and translators, and I think this is also a contribution in kind from these host countries and something we need to appreciate. United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to support the request made by the Secretariat to our parent bodies, it would be helpful to see the implications of a potential change to Article 9, and indeed an explanation of what these extra budgetary resources are. Some explanation would be very welcome. I was going to raise a point about the role of the Executive Committee on this overall question of budgetary issues, because this does appear to be a management committee, and it would be sensible to discuss at least in one of the meetings per year the latest developments in terms of income and expenditure in broad terms, because this is a way of monitoring the progress and function of Codex. This may not quite accord with paragraphs 2 and 3 of Rule 5, but hopefully it would be a helpful executive function for this committee to monitor, as I say, in broad terms, not every dollar that's spent, the development of whether expenditure is increasing or falling, which must be our aim, and whether our goal of efficiency is being achieved. So this is just a request for one of the meetings each year to have budgetary issues and financial matters for at least review and possible discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, UK, for that, I'll call it reminding us of what had been mentioned even in the previous meeting. And I do very well remember, if I look at my left, Mr. Sums had promised to allow for more transparency, because our understanding was the accounting system within FAO was such that it didn't give a lot of flexibility. And of course, as you remember, and as you know, financial and budgetary matters is a permanent agenda item on our executive committee meeting. And actually, this is what we are discussing now. And instead of asking for a special, you know, agenda item, but that could also come under this agenda item. But can I give the floor to FAO, please?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like to start saying that FAO is in a critical period now, after the external independent evaluation. As I mentioned in my opening session speech, the coming year will be a very important and crucial year for the future of FAO. After the decision of the conference recently held, a committee, special committee, was convened to analyze the main recommendations of AI report and to propose in a special conference in November 2008, to propose an immediate action plan and a strategic framework for the future of FAU. In this context, a lot of things could change in FAU. And this change could be, in certain way, affecting the codex budgetary issues. And not just budget size, but even effectiveness. For instance, one of the most important package of the recommendations is related to administrative procedures and rules of FAU. I heard several times, not just in codex commission, but in other bodies as International Treaty of Plant Genetic Resources, IPPC, etc., common problems, for instance, for the translation rules, that is an increasing cost due to the rules that is applied by FAU. This is a good example that in the coming month, all these rules in procedures in administrative way of FAO could be discussed and changed. And this could be influenced, of course, the effectiveness and the saving costs from some bodies as Codex Commission. Because you can remember that every time that this problem is arised, always the rules of FAO is mentioned as a legal obligation to the some kind of translations, criterias, rules, etc. And I expect that all these things could be discussed and probably change in the coming month. But not just these details could be changed. I think the overall framework of financing in FAO could be changed too. In that sense, this could be affecting the discussions of the options that currently were putting in place. Excuse the me. Option three...
When you touch the interpreter... Yeah.
The option three, or option four, is very depending on this overall framework for financing FAO that will be discussed in the coming time. I suppose that in the case of the extra budgetary resources, we need some changes, important changes. Currently, the main extra budgetary resources sources are marked to specific projects, specific activities. It's not unmarked extra budgetary resources. But we can expect too that in the future, some of the part of these extra budgetary resources could be voluntary contributions from member countries and market. Let's say the FAO could be allocate these extra budgetary resources according to the priorities established by the governing bodies of FAO. In that sense, it could be an extra regular budget, not properly regular budget, but it plays as a regular budget. It's not marked to some projects in some countries for some topics. And this opened a new dynamic in the financing of the main activities of FAO, but also some bodies as Codex Commission and other international conventions and treaties. All these things has to be discussed, as I said, in the 2008. And I cannot predict exactly what will be the final result. But my feeling is that there will be a very important and relevant changes on that. We need to play with the regular budget, voluntary contributions, and market voluntary contributions, and the classical extra budget resources market to specific activities or projects. And in that sense, I think that open this possibility could be very important for the financing the colleagues' activities, not just the core activities, let's say, setting standards, but even the related activities of colleagues as scientific advice and capacity building. As finally, I think that this is just to open our minds and open the future for new arrangements in the procedures of administrative things and for budgetary policy in FAO. And I expect, again, I am saying important things to be changed, but I am not in a position to exactly foresee what will be the discussions, because this allow a very important time of change. But the decisions is in the side of the governing body of FAO, this special committee from the conference, and especially the last discussions will be in the conference in November 2008, when the conference will be discussing and we expect approval all these changes in FAO.
Thank you, FAO, and we remain optimistic. We really hope the 2008 meeting, FAO meeting, will be very positive on our side. And as you said, we cannot predict, but we can only wish. Ladies and gentlemen, we have concluded our discussion on part A of this agenda item, and I wish to invite you for 10 minutes coffee, healthy stretch. Thank you.